Blog Talk Radio.
I believe you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for my sins and arose again so that I might be forgiven and receive eternal life. I renounce all pride and religious self-righteousness and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy, except that you died in my place. I confess all my sins before you and hold nothing back. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them and I turn to you. Lord, I ask for your mercy and forgiveness. By a decision of my will, I freely forgive all who have ever harmed or wronged me. I lay down all bitterness, all resentment, and all hatred. I sever all contact I have ever had with the occult or with false religion. Lord Jesus, I thank you that on the cross you were made a curse, that I might be redeemed from every curse and inherit God's blessing. On that basis, I ask you to release me and set me free to receive the deliverance I need. I take my stand with you, Lord, against all Satan's demons. I submit to you, Lord, and I resist the devil. Now I speak to any demons that have control over me to go from me now. In the name of Jesus, I expel all demonic entities that might come up against me or my ministry or my family in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we bless you tonight. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, where angels from faith fall. Bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. He chose and seed of Israel, saved he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throng may let his secret fall, we'll join the everlasting song, and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the
Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. invites you to join our social Christian network. Membership is free. Our social network is dedicated to the Christians throughout the world. Here you can connect with fellow Christians around the globe. and witness to non-believers. Join us in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to impact the world. You can visit us at www.myhocm.ning.com. House of Christ Christian Bookstore invites you to join our membership mailing list. We will never rent, sell, or share your email address with any third party. As a registered customer, you are entitled to a number of benefits, including special pricing on the Industrious Absolute, best prices on your products via email. You will enjoy savings of up to 50% on brand name products from top suppliers, top manufacturers, and more. Visit us at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. House of Christ Bible College, if you sense the call of God on your lives, or you desire formal biblical training to equip yourself for ministry, and you are praying to find the right seminary or Bible college for you, here are two reasons why you should put HCBC on your short list of schools to consider. Our students are prepared to start a new church or revitalize an existing congregation. We are probably the only Bible college where you will be trained in web ministry. Doing ministry in the 21st century requires that we be able to leverage all the tools available to us today. We are committed to claiming the web for Jesus Christ. Visit us at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc., at www.riversofrevival.com. Financial support in our effort to raise funds to assist their work. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Food for the Poor was named by the Chronicle Philanthropy as the largest international relief and development organization in the nation, which feeds millions of hungry people throughout the countries that they serve. Their Christian relief programs and projects are helping children and the poorest of poor by providing food, housing, health care, education, water projects, emergency relief, and micro-enterprise assistance in the Caribbean and Latin America. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to our monthly mailing lessons, and to receive copies of our monthly lessons, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. To our distribution of free copies of the Book of John and Romans in English, French, and Spanish. These books can be used for evangelism. To our social Christian network, our online Bible college, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites, to our online Christian bookstore. We are reaching thousands throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. If the Lord leads you to support this ministry by giving, it will be an investment in the future of this generation, both for this life and eternity. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request, or share a testimony, or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501C3. Continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share our statement of faith with you. We believe the Bible to be the only inspired... We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, When they therefore were come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson in a series, Biblical Prophetic Principles. Tonight's teachings will be Operations of Control Spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, we come into your presence tonight, Lord, and we pray for your anointing. We pray, O Lord, that the Holy Spirit will dwell within and that we will take full control, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I submit to you tonight, and I pray that your words will flow like living waters, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, and I lift you up, and I bless you tonight.
Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord Almighty. True and righteous are all your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord? Glorify your name. Behold the Lord. And will not be afraid.
Our lesson for tonight is operations of control spirits. Most of us think of a controller as a bossy or aggressive man or woman. While these are obvious controlling characteristics, a leader in particular may adapt this behavior considering it a leadership style that makes workers more productive and less likely to question their decisions or authority. It is also possible that this type of leader may feel that kindness or femininity will be seen as a weakness, and that respect can only be gained through dominance. This may work in the short term, but over time, workers will become resentful and resist this heavy-handed method. Leaders are frequently targeted by control spirits by virtue of their positions, and will find it hard to resist their influence, particularly if they believe they have something to prove. Other candidates targeted by control spirits are the fearful. The fearful may be those who are afraid to trust authority figures, are intimidated by them, have a fearful nature, or deal with doubt, unbelief, and insecurity. Control spirits love the fearful because they can reassure them using pseudo-counseling to gain their confidence and dependence. The word pseudo, pronounced pseudo, is derived from the Greek word pseudine, meaning false, fake, counterfeit, sham, deceitful. Therefore, the term pseudo-counseling means to counsel someone with the intent to deceive them. The spirit of fear is a control spirit. It uses tormentors to increase the anxiety level of the fear, paralyzing or immobilizing them, as they can take no decisive actions. The rebellious. This person does not submit to authority because of willfulness or distrust. They may resent authority figures because of the personal accountability such authority requires an individual. The rebellious feel that authority figures suppress one's right to the freedom of their own way, thoughts, or actions. They see disobedience as disagreeing with someone else's rules, and that they are simply expressing their right to their own decisions. If the rebellious are also gifted or talented, their pride tells them their nonconformity will be overlooked. Control spirits love the rebellious because they help promote an environment of disorder. The abused and neglected. This person can become the fearful and or rebellious because of the abuse or neglect suffered at the hands of one or more authority figures who were supposed to nurture and protect them. Control spirits can cause the abused and neglected to themselves become abusive because they may have promised themselves they'll never be a victim again. Once becoming a parent, even repeating the neglect they suffered as a child, they may think because they came through, this may be a way of developing strength and independence in the other person. Because you can't really depend on anybody anyway. Conversely, this group may take the opposite approach, becoming overly protective and indulgent, actually giving more than is beneficial. They may hope it will draw love to them or somewhat make up for their own previous lack. Either way, they are still reacting of their own pain and woundedness. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15 verse 13. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 17 verse 22. Controlled spirits love the abused and neglected because they lie to them, saying, God took them, or God took them that way, so they could minister to others because of what they had experienced. But if one ministers out of their path or woundedness, then codependence results, and that put others into emotional bondage. Because these spirits only make people relive their abuse, it is counterproductive to healing, deliverance, and the freedom to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. At times, there is a lack of balance, teaching in certain ministries, created to minister to the abused, wounded, and broken. Unfortunately, this causes people to become emotional junkies instead of spiritual giants. The heir. This person may inherit a controlled spirit because they were raised in a home with a controlling mother or father. The behaviors learned and the defenses employed to navigate through this home environment have become a part of this individual's personality. If the mother was a controller, then the role of the father was diminished and he was emasculated before the children. He was no longer regarded as the head authority figure and may have begun to be treated as just one of the children. In response, the father may have become distant because his role wasn't valued and supported by his wife, nor heeded by his children. Mothers who do this teach their children rebellion against the authority of God's order. If the father was the controller, the wife and children lived in fear and anxiety because of their dad's anger, aggression, intimidation, or whatever acceptance, rejection ploys he used to keep his family in check. Living in a household such as this will impair any future relationship one might have as a spouse or parent. In a home where both parents have controlling behaviors, each spouse will try to strengthen their position by exploiting the weakness of the other openly at times before the children. In controlling environments, you will see extreme selfishness and anger with a hostile silence. The silent treatment is another control tactic used to make the offender feel uncomfortable, remorseful, and oppressed by rejection. In this way, they are willing to do anything to get back on good terms with the other person. Control spirits love dysfunctional families because the dysfunction prevents the display of godly roles as an example of each member of the family. Because of the turmoil, the children of this home experience the devil now as access to destroy another generation. Other behavior types that control spirits use are imposing one's will upon another. Strife, aggression, pulling rank, unkind, criticism and manipulation on the job. A worker or new worker at the job seems to have gained the ear and confidence of the supervisor or boss. Because the supervisor is insecure, they rely on the worker's perspective to give them insight into the goings-on among the other workers that may go on when they are not around. This causes the chain of command to flow in reverse from bottom to top, causing serious blow to the morale of the office. Now workers feel spied on, no longer working in an environment that is impartial and objective, where they can be evaluated based on their personal merit. Instead, feelings of jealousy, suspicions, fault finding, accusation, strife, fear of reprisal, or lust and envy have been sown in the atmosphere of the job. If you are one of these workers, you will begin to feel the heaviness of oppression there. You have begun to hate your job, because it feels like you are going to war instead of going to work. Your boss or supervisor has yielded their authority to a control spirit that is now the governing influence in the office. Beloved, if you are the Christian in such an environment, you must not yield to the atmosphere of the place, becoming depressed, critical, bitter, and judgmental. That means not entering into conversation against another person or criticizing the policy of your boss. You will lose your spiritual authority to bind the control spirits in Jesus' name, praying also for the boss and workers, asking God to restore true order and accountability to the workplace. You may come under attack for a time as the enemy tries to break you down, but keep your head and guard your heart from bitterness. At the right time, God can bring a change of administration, position, even proper accountability, and order to the workplace. Sometimes, the controller is removed from the work environment altogether. Praying for one's spiritual or natural leader, however, is vitally important to help them yield to what is right and just. In addition, the person with the control spirit jealously guards their position, looking to eliminate anyone who could be a potential rival. Because supervisors, bosses are always searching for dependable, productive people, this characteristic will put such a person on a control spirit's hit list. The controlling worker will try to diminish the productive colleague's reputation by using criticism or accusation. Sometimes the person will come under heavy oppression, feeling so discouraged that they want to leave the job or be transferred out. The control spirit is applying pressure to them because it doesn't want the supervisor to begin to depend on that person and it lose its position of influence. Sometimes the controller will use a different strategy. They may try to befriend the individual in order to win them over and corrupt them. You don't have to have a control spirit to be influenced and used by one. Here is how it's done. Control spirits use triggers that, if yielded to, cause us to become a vessel of theirs in any given situation. A trigger, by definition, is a lever pulled in such a way that it releases the catch that activates the firing mechanism on the firearm, gun, rifle, etc. A trigger is also the initiator for an action. A control spirit will use a soulish trigger as a device to get us to fire upon someone else. It will use us as a weapon to fire its ammunition at a given target. These spirits actually use people, and especially Christians, as a weapon to fire upon each other. What is your trigger? Each of us has one or more triggers. It is a weakness or stronghold in our flesh, our carnal nature. That area needs to be crucified and guarded by prayer and the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. I advise you to take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. If not, we'll prove to be a reliable weapon used by the enemy. We'll begin shooting off our mouths when provoked and displaying very bad attitudes when situations present themselves. Sometimes we Christians are in voluntary denial. We tell ourselves and others that we don't know what is going on. That must be the devil's attack. Or we blame the unkindness, inconsideration, or misunderstanding of others as the key to our issues. But the truth is, it is much easier to blame external people and things rather than take an inward look. Most Christians, if we even believe that the devil is real, would be instantly offended if we were told that the enemy was using us or there was a spirit in operation in our lives. However, God is not going to let us off the hook so easily. He has provided us with the greatest insight mankind has on revealing root issues in our lives. I encourage you to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, which list the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, just to name a few. Beloved, when a Christian does a periodic and honest self-check using those lists of godly and ungodly characteristics, they will reveal what open doors in our nature are giving the enemy access to us. Both godly and ungodly traits generate thoughts into our souls, psyche, minds. It's the carnal, ungodly thoughts that trap us. When the enemy uses a trigger to bait us, here is a list of some triggers that set us off. 1. A perceived injustice. 2. Feeling that someone is rejecting us or being left out. 3. Getting or being spoken to disrespectfully. 4. Being offended. 5. Someone causing us shame or embarrassment, being made fun of. 6. Being ashamed and embarrassed. 7. Someone hurting us with words or actions. 8. Being lied on or about. 9. Having someone unload their anger at us. 10. Unfair criticism. 11. Stored anger, frustration, unforgiveness, under hurt from past unresolved arguments or issues. Hurt from past unresolved arguments, issues that were swept under the rug. Not getting credit we think we deserve. Someone else getting the credit or being recognized for what we did. The triggers we have are symptomatic of the operation of the works of the flesh in our lives. Mistaken perspective. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7a clause. Recently, for the first time in the lives of some of us, we have difficulties. We reach to a point where we think we are not able to make it. And sometimes we sit back and wonder what is really going on in our lives. But beloved, a controlled spirit will attempt to introduce a thought in your mind to see if it sticks. We don't actively resist it. By casting it down and declaring God's word over the thought, it will begin to assert itself in our minds. It will begin to manipulate our perspective, making us think, for example, that people are coming against us, or even that everything around us is getting steadily worse at home, on the job, etc. And we will seem to be the only one who notices. we may become overly sensitive to the words or actions of people because now we think they are acting out of their dislike for us. Then we begin to overreact to what we think is happening around us. The worst thing that we can do at this point is not check ourselves to see if we are seeing clearly, especially if we think everyone else, including loved ones, are acting outside of what normals for them, and everything seems more complicated and exaggerated than it should be. Beloved, we must check ourselves. We must bind spirits that would be attacking our minds, affecting our understandings. They are trying to isolate us and make us feel nobody understands, including our spouse or even our pastors, because we believe something is wrong with them also. We think, oh no, the devil's gotten to them too. We are about to make a crucial mistake. If we go around trying to confront people and fix what we think is wrong and fail to check and see if our perspective is off, this is going to cause destruction. This is going to cause turmoil. This is going to cause confusion. And a lot of people are going to be angry, hurt, and offended at us. And rightly so. And you know what's going to happen when it's all over. Our excuse will be, but I thought, but I believe, but I think. Beloved, be careful. Try to avoid being deceived by a controlled spirit. It actually sets you up to cause the problems you thought God was giving you the discernment to solve. Self-righteousness and overconfidence in ourselves blinds us to certain telltale signs that something is affecting us. When suspicion, distrust, and the lack of concern for the feelings of those around us begins to tarnish our love walk, we must repent and get into prayer. In this attitude of humility, the demonic spirit affecting our judgment can be exposed. I encourage you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 7, James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, and 26 through 27. It bears repeating that unless we guard our hearts and renew our minds, we can become either a victim of a controlled spirit or a vessel for a controlled spirit. We may be attacked by a controlled spirit, but we don't have to find ourselves reacting in a negative way that leaves residual feelings of oppression and the damage to our breastplate of righteousness. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. restored to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Beloved, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. Continue on this spiritual journey. Our lesson for tonight was operations of controlled spirits. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At that time, all of his promises are available to you. if you receive them by faith.
Yeah.
Beginning the Christian walk with a solid foundation influences the success of your lives as a Christian. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." What does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? It means to accept Jesus Christ as all God offers him to be for everyone. Jesus Christ is God's gift to the world. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Beloved, I would like you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you admitting that I am a sinner. Right now, Lord, I choose to turn away from sin, and I ask you to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to take away my sin. I also believe that he rose again from the dead, so that I might be forgiven of my sins and made righteous through faith in him. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be the Savior and Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, I choose to follow you and ask that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that right now I am a child of God. I am free from sin and full of the righteousness of God. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray this prayer and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, please conduct us with House of Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I thank you for tuning in tonight and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and be blessed by the Word of God. I am your host, Reverend Donald Davis. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and good night.